Wow. Is it red?
No. Ours is a bit different.
Okay. Yeah. We've got the better one.
Yeah, there's new red.
So what topic do you want to ask? What questions do you want to ask?
Does it have to be about the topic?
It doesn't matter. It could be anything.
Okay. How was your day doing?
My day was brilliant, inspiring, empowering. The morning went really well. And what we did is basically we had loads of different women come together in today's session. We had somebody from the Violent Reduction Network, and then we had somebody from the PCC team. So they explained what their roles have been, what they do day to day, what does their organization do as a whole, who's part of their team. So yeah, it's been really, really good morning overall.
That does sound really fun.
Thank you. It was.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So more about that. What's your definition of smart city?
Precisely what a smart city.
My definition of smart city, when I first heard of it, to be honest, was I thought of solar panels, climate change, that kind of thing. But since doing the research, I've realised that obviously it's a bit different. And smart city basically means using, artificial intelligence to enhance our services. For example, bus timetables. Quite a lot of they're doing a lot of work within Leicester at the moment where you get to on a bus timetables. There's an actual digital live timetable where it shows you exactly how many minutes is left of the bus. That kind of thing. So yeah.
Would you say that Leicester is a smart city or developing?
I would say Leicester is developing towards being a smart city. I wouldn't say it is a smart city yet. It's developing to get there. And it's amazing initiatives that are being started up now. So I'm hoping to indulge and find out and do a lot more background research into what those projects are, and hopefully contact those experts and get a bit of their views as well as my role as a community community reporter evolves.
Because it what means do you that think people that just, Leicester has to do to get that to title of being a smart city?
I think they need to take the people that live in Leicester with them. So when we are having this smart city gatherings, and obviously there's a lot of big corporates that will be involved in that, I feel like average Joes and normal people should be really the ones that, because in the end of the day the service that's going to be impacted will be used by normal day-to-day people. So if you are going to make our lives better, and if you are going to make our life easier by providing all these sort of things, then you do need to take the people with you, so people are aware of what's happening, people are aware of how their data is being protected as well. It's all about data as well, and how is it going to be protected, and there's a lot of marginalised groups as well, that's invisible, communities that don't really interact with the wider community, but it's not fault of their own, it's because it's almost as if we've forgotten about them, like for instance the homeless people, and I feel like those needs to be there's a lot of inequalities, and that needs to be highlighted in the process of becoming a smart city. And there's a lot of people who's also digitally divided country, and that showed because of the pandemic it has really enhanced and shown the inequalities that exist within our country, and I feel like it's going to be a bigger gap if that is not addressed now. And I feel like before we become a smart city and invest our information and our data into something that that is new and that's artificial intelligence related, I feel like we really need to focus on the basic needs. Go back to Maslow's hierarchy, which is basically the basic needs. There's people out there who's not even eating food, you know. That's the kind of things we need to put our money into first. So as a society, when we are thriving, it's when we're able to become smart together and become a smart city.
What do you think these community groups need?
The community groups need a lot more funding to be invested in different areas, obviously. Education is the key to everything, so educate. A lot of people don't know how to use, you know, computers or laptops or anything like that. They're not able to access the services that they really need because they're not able to use it. The grassroots community groups that's helping or charities are overrun. They're underfunded. So it's difficult for them to get that support and help. So I feel like first and foremost, people need to be housed in adequate places. People need to be, you know, minimum wage needs to probably go up so we are able to sustain ourselves and our income and live comfortably, yeah, because we're not living comfortably. That, you know, everything else is rising and our wages are still the same, so we can't make ends meet. So something needs to be done now. So either bring down the prices or put up the wages up. So your education and the government looking into reform of, you know, the social sector and also the benefits sector as well.
Do you believe that everything becoming more digital changes and affects the way we live, especially for those underdeveloped and less informed community groups who have been ignored?
Absolutely, I do believe that is the case, and I feel like that gap is already huge and it's probably going to be even more higher numbers with that. So it's definitely that will be the case, I feel. And that's the kind of community that it needs to be reached. Those are the kind of communities that need more support and help, and I feel like the gap will only get wider. You know, it's all, you know, the Smart City actually has a lot of benefits to it, but also a lot of, you know, disadvantages to it as well. So, yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Do you believe that the design of a smart city and how Leicester is developing has unconscious bias? So is it developing more affluent areas of Leicester or like the city centre or tourist destinations more than community groups who have, as you have previously, are being ignored, their housing areas and their local areas?
Yeah, I do feel like they are focusing more on affluent areas. They're focusing more on, you know, the face of the city, where is the most place where people go to, popular areas where people go to, businesses are, you know, high class and businesses are. And I feel like that's what is going to happen. And I, you know, it's not going to be it won't be inclusive. So they want includes. They are looking to do an inclusive society, so that won't be an inclusive society because you're leaving large proportion of the you know populations behind. You know, how about what about the older people that don't know how to use digital? You know, they're not digitally savvy or aware.
Do you believe that a smart city is inclusive?
I don't believe smart city is inclusive. I don't think so. I really don't. And I hope to God that, you know, they actually reconsider and try to support the communities a lot better before they can get to that smart city, because ultimately, as they say, it's for our benefit. I mean, I've been reading a lot of articles about politicians trying to pitch and say to, you know, get votes from teachers, for example, to say, oh, we'll have robots that will do exam when there's exam, or they will mark the, so they can give the teachers a lot more break, because teachers are, you know, underpaid and overworked, as we know. And that is a bit ridiculous, because I feel like, you know, even though I shouldn't be thinking like robots will take over the world, but I feel like that's the kind of way that we will be headed as a society, that we will not have a, you know, human interaction with people anymore. So those services that, you know, people are doing now will be done by artificial intelligence, which will cause a lot more, you know, shortage of work. Like, what's going to happen with those, you know?
But don't you believe that it can open a whole new market? So say, for example, doctors learning with more robotic equipment, because it would make them more steady. Even in surgery, a robot doing the surgery, because a doctor would have a shaky hand, doctors can make mistakes. Do you think that it could help society and that are positives instead of negatives as well? Do you think that positives could outweigh the negatives?
I don't think the positives can outweigh the negatives. I mean, it's all good in, you know, having a robot who's got a steady hand to do surgery for you. But also we need somebody who's, you know, a human being with human connection, who, you know, a robot will probably think in a linear way. You need somebody who won't think that way, that will think, you know, okay, this is situation. I mean, because with surgeries, and a lot of things can change within seconds. Will robot be programmed to deal with that kind of, you know what I mean? Whereas a doctor, a human being, they've got brains, they, you know, they won't think linear way.
They can
think for their head, yeah, and this situation will arise, so let me avoid and do this, and you know, but I feel like with a robot, it's not going to be this straightforward.
So, final question: do you think that in schools using AI technology could be beneficial? So, say for example, if tests are marked by robots, wouldn't it be quicker turnaround for students? Will it be a less stress on teachers? Because, as you said, teachers are underpaid and overworked. Mm.
Well, that's the thing. We've heard about A-levels, a bit this big faff about, you know, the exams being wrong and this and that. And they were blaming on the data. They were blaming it, you know, again, artificial intelligence. So how can you make a mistake, such a thing, and then expect, you know, because this is trial and error as well. And I feel like before we can get into perfection in training, the way we use information, it's going to be a lot of mistakes made, yes. But do you want to take that risk? Would it not create a lot more problems than it would normally being done in the system that we already have in place?
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Zamzam. This was a wonderful discussion. It was lovely speaking to you.
Oh, thank you, Medina.
So, I don't need to do anything with you guys.